Mark's Gospel, chapter 7. We want to base our remarks this morning upon the words of verse 25. I will be preaching upon the first part of this message this morning, and then the second part of it next Sabbath morning. But verse 25, we meet there with another one of the wonderful women of the Bible. In verse 25, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. In Mark's account of this event, the evangelist informs us that the Lord Jesus went into a house. He went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house. Now, we're not told whose house it was. We don't know who occupied that house or who owned that house, but one thing we do know. The Lord Jesus was welcome in that house. For there we read again in that verse 24 that on the borders of Tyre and Sidon they entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. No doubt there were houses in that area, in that vicinity, where the Lord Jesus was not welcome. But there was at least one house where the door was open to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord is a wonderful person to have in your house. Peter and Andrew thought so. When they entered their house, it was a house of sickness. And while he was there, the Lord Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. Jairus and his wife thought it was a wonderful thing to have the Lord Jesus in their house, because that was the house of sorrow, where their 12-year-old daughter had just passed away. But it was good to have the Lord in their house because the Lord Jesus raised up their only daughter from her deathbed. Mary and Martha would have thought it was a good thing to have the Lord in their house. Theirs was a house of service. Martha served, and Mary sat at the Master's feet hearing his word. The Emmaus disciples thought it was good to have the Lord in their house. Theirs was a house of sadness. They thought the Lord had not risen from the dead, and they were sad and cast down. But then the Lord entered their house, and they opened their eyes and they recognized him. And they were able to say, "Did not our heart burn within us?" They were full of the joy of the Lord. So you see, dear, here this morning, it is good to have the Lord in your house. And in the narrative before us, we find that the Lord always makes a difference when he enters anyone's house. He made a difference in those houses we have already referred to. And we praise his name. He made a difference when he entered into this house. Because from this house that he entered into in the borders of Tyre and Sidon, he made a great difference in another house. Is the Lord welcome in your house? Are you happy to have the Lord in your house? We might call the name of this house in the borders of Tyre and Sidon a secret house, the house of secrecy. Because Mark tells us and informs us that when the Lord entered into the house, he would have no man know it. That's an expression we haven't come across before in the Gospels. That the Lord entered into certain houses and they would have no man know it. Didn't want anybody know he was there. But once again in that house where the Savior was hidden for a while, he made a difference in a young woman's life. He made a difference in a mother's life as well. This young woman or young girl was the daughter of a woman who was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And here was a mother who was greatly burdened about spiritual state and the spiritual welfare of her daughter. And the mother realized that her only hope was in the Lord Jesus Christ, this Jesus of Nazareth. And so I want to look at this woman this morning in their series of the wicked and wonderful women that we meet with in the Word. And without a doubt, this was a wonderful woman. She was a wonderful mother. And any son or any daughter who has a mother who will seek the Lord on their behalf have a wonderful mother. And so let us see what we can learn from this woman that we read about in Mark's Gospel and also the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew records this incident also. But we will concern ourselves primarily this morning with what Mark tells us about her. And here we see, first of all, is a mother and her seeking Christ. A mother seeking Christ. Seeking Christ, of course, on behalf of her daughter. In her daughter, if her daughter was to be healed and delivered from this evil spirit, then the mother must seek the help of Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who could help her and help her daughter. He's the only one with the power to cast out this devil. Her daughter showed no sign of seeking Christ herself. There's no indication here that this mother's daughter sought the Lord. Indeed, you will find in the Gospels that you never read of a son or a daughter seeking the Lord on behalf of their parents. It's always the other way around, the parents seeking the Lord on behalf of their children. And so it was on this occasion. And as we consider this mother who sought the Lord, I'd like you to notice with me her determination. In verse 24 again, we read, the Lord entered into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. So here we have an example of this mother's determination to seek the Lord. Here we see, first of all, regarding her determination, the way of the Lord. The way of the Savior was to go to the borders of Tyre and Sidon and hide himself in a particular house there. Why did the Lord want to hide himself? Well, I believe we have the answer, and we'll reveal that in a few minutes. But it was then up to the mother to go and search for him if the Lord was hiding somewhere in a house in the borders of Tyre and Sidon. Then she must go and seek the Lord and search for him. You know, dear child of God, I'm sure you are familiar with the fact that sometimes the Lord will hide himself from his people merely to prompt and to encourage them to seek him more earnestly and with more determination. Job was a man who experienced the hiding of the Lord. You turn with me, please, to Job. Turn with me to Job chapter 23. In Job 23, the great man of God himself makes mention here, it refers to the Lord hiding himself from him. And in Job 23, we read in verse 3. Job says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments, that I might come even to his seat." That seat, of course, being the throne of grace. But here we have Job lamenting that the Lord is hiding himself. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. And you go down the chapter to verse 8. Verse 8 of chapter 23. And Job says, "Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." And there is the Lord hiding himself from Job. But I want you to notice something. That even though the Lord hid himself from Job, Job nevertheless went on searching for him. For he said, "I turned to the left and he's not there. And he hideth himself on my right hand." Job still goes on searching and seeking the Lord. And dear believer, we must show the same determination in seeking the Lord. And if we do so, if we show the same determination in seeking the Lord, then we will find him because he has promised. And we can stand upon his promises. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 we read, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And we can see then why the Lord often hides himself, that we may be more determined in our search for him, that we might seek him with all of our heart. Because, believer, listen, when we seek the Lord with all of our heart, then we are bound to see more answers to prayer. If we just get before God and say our prayers, prayers will hardly reach heaven. Our prayers will hardly reach the ears of God. But if we seek the Lord with all of our heart, fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man, listen, availeth much. And the Lord hides himself that we might seek him more earnestly in a more determined way. And we see then this mother's determination. The Lord had hidden himself, but she was determined to find him. Notice not only the way of the Lord and hiding himself, but I believe we have here also the waiting of the Lord. The Savior went into this house and could have and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid, for a certain woman sought him out. Do you know what I believe? I believe the Lord went into that house, and while he was in that house hiding himself, he was in that house waiting for this woman, this mother, to seek him. And I'll tell you what I base that upon. If you go down to verse 31, first of all, let's read verse 24. Just to get the connection. Verse 24, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Now verse 31, and again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. Now you find that in verse 24 the Lord enters into the coast of Tyre and Sidon and then into an house. And then after he met with this woman, or this mother met with him, and he healed her daughter, he delivered her daughter, what do we read? We're told again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. In other words, the Lord Jesus did not minister to anybody else while he was in that house. He did not minister to anyone else while he was in the borders of Tyre and Sidon. So why did he go there in the first place? Why did he go to the borders of Tyre and Sidon if he didn't minister to anybody except this woman? And I earnestly believe that the Lord Jesus went there into that house and hid himself. He knew this woman would be seeking him because he knows all things. And he went into that house and simply waited for the woman to seek him out. There's the waiting of Christ. We must give thought to this fact. We must consider this truth about the waiting Christ. Because you see, believer, the Lord is waiting for us to seek him. He's waiting. Just as he waited in that house for the Syrophoenician woman to search for him and seek him out and find him, so the Lord waits for us when it comes time to pray. He's waiting for us. Isaiah 30 and verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Listen, blessed are all they that wait for him. If ever we had an incentive, if ever we had a word of encouragement A word to encourage us to seek the Lord, to search Him out. This is it. Listen to the words again. Therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you. He's waiting to be gracious to us. He's waiting for us. And has he not already told us that if we seek Him with the whole heart, we shall find Him? And He's waiting to be gracious unto us. He wants to bless us. He's willing to bless us. Just as He was waiting in that house, He was willing to bless the Syrophoenician woman by saving her daughter. He was willing to bless her. The Lord is waiting, and He's waiting, and He's waiting, and He's waiting for us to seek Him, that we might receive tokens of His grace. Why are we so reluctant to seek Him? Why are we so reluctant to search for Him when He has told us He's waiting to be gracious? I see here something else that fueled this woman's determination, this mother's determination to seek the Lord for her daughter. There was also the word about the Lord. The word about the Lord. Look at verse 25. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Him. There's the word. Heard of Him and came and fell at His feet. Here this woman had been told about the Lord. Would you just go back a few chapters to chapter 3 of Mark. Mark chapter 3 and verse 7. Mark 3 verse 7. But Jesus withdrew Himself with His disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed Him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan. And they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things He did, came unto Him. You go down to verse 10. And He had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon Him for to touch Him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw Him, fell down before Him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God, and straightly charged them that they should not speak, or should not make Him known. The Lord Jesus was ministering in and around Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. The people of Galilee came out to see Him. The people of Judah and other places. And they traveled down from the northwestern coast, from the borders of Tyre and Sidon, all the way down to Galilee to see the Lord. And then they, of course, would have returned home. And when they returned home to Tyre and Sidon, they could return home with stories of what they saw the Lord do. They could tell stories of how the Lord healed the sick, how He cast out unclean spirits, how He delivered and saved souls from the clutches of the devil. the people of Tyre and Sidon would have been talking about what they saw and witnessed at the hand of the Lord. And we read here in verse 25 of Mark 7, "For a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him." Where did she hear about him? Did she not hear? Is it not a possibility that she heard the word from those who had gone and visited Galilee and saw what Christ did there? And I'm sure this mother said, "Well, if the Lord Jesus did that in Galilee and he cast out devils and he cast out demons and he cast out unclean spirits, then he can do that for my daughter." And she was determined to find him. She was determined to search for him, and she was determined to seek him out and go on seeking until she found him. That's determination. And it was all based upon what she had been told. It was all based upon the word she had heard about the Lord. Now, believer, apply that to your life. What have you heard about the Lord? What have you been told about him? We were told many things about the Lord during the week of prayer. About the salvation of the son of one of our elders. Last year, as I ministered for the weekend in Pennsylvania in our church in Malvern, in one of the prayer meetings there, an elder of that church was crying out to God for his rebellious son. His son was in rebellion. Rebelled against his father and his mother, rebelled against the church and didn't want to go to church. Well, do you know what we heard this time? This week of prayer, that son got saved 6 weeks ago. And there are those in the church who testify what a joy it is to see him sitting with his mother and father in church, not only in the Lord's day, but in the prayer meeting during the week. That's a word that we received about the Lord and what he did in that young man's life and what he did in answer to prayer. Prayers that had been offered up by a mother and a father. And would that not, believer, would that not encourage us then also to seek the Lord based upon the word that we have heard about what the Lord has done? I believe Duncan told the story last Wednesday night of the woman saved that he led to the Lord and her to run the church from a Muslim background. And another person who was saved there from a Muslim background who had been prayed for 27 years. That's the sort of word you like to hear, isn't it? But surely it is a word about the Lord that encourages us like this mother here. It would surely encourage us to seek the Lord, to search for him with all of our heart, to search and seek until we find him. And remember, as the Lord waited in that house for the Syrophoenician woman to find him, that he may be gracious unto her, and he was. So the Lord's waiting for us to seek him. Because he wants to be gracious unto us. This would surely encourage us, what we hear about the Lord, what he's doing and what he has done in the lives of others, would surely lead us to go on praying, go on seeking God, and not to give up. This woman didn't give up. The Lord hid himself, but she didn't give up until she found him. Certainly one of the wonderful women that we meet with in the Word. There's one other thing here about her determination. You notice how she worshipped the Lord. Mark tells us that the Savior entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. And why could he not be hid? For or because. He could not be hid because a certain woman searched for him and found him. I think that's a lovely word. That's a very precious word there. He could not be hid for a certain woman, because a certain woman. Just one woman. There's no indication here that anybody else sought him or searched for him. He could not be hid for or because a certain woman found him and came before him, and we're told in the verse 25, she fell at his feet. She worshipped him. She went down to his feet. She worshipped at his feet. She waited at his feet. Blessed are all they that wait. Isaiah has told us this morning. Blessed are all they that wait for him, or wait upon him. My, this mother was blessed indeed as she waited there at the Savior's feet. And she occupied there that place of humility, down at the Savior's feet. She was coming to the Lord Jesus with a heavy burden. She needed help. And in all humility, she falls at his feet. The place of humility, the place of help, the place of hope. It's how we must approach the Lord. We come to pray. We're coming to worship him. We're not just coming to petition the Lord and bring our wants and our needs and our burdens to him. That's part of it. But when we come to pray, when we seek the Lord, and when we find him in prayer, we must fall at his feet. We must worship him. And by the very act of worship, we are acknowledging that he is God. And God is worthy of all of our worship. It was there at the feet of Jesus that Mary sat and heard his word, worshipped him. It was there that the city woman, you remember, came into the house of Simon the Pharisee, and she stood at his feet and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed, washing his feet with her tears. She worshipped him. It was there that the sick were placed. For we read about the friends of the sick, and they brought the sick and the halt and the maimed and the blind and left them all at his feet. They worshipped him. It was there that the woman on resurrection morning fell. You remember how they held on to his feet? They worshipped him. And this Syrophoenician woman found the Lord after searching for him and seeking him. It was down at his feet she fell. And believer, when we seek the Lord and we come before him and into his presence, down at his feet we must go. Worship him. That's her determination. And then we have her daughter. This mother who sought the Lord. And here we see what brought her to the Lord. Verse 25, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. That's what brought her to Christ. I wonder would that Syrophoenician woman, that mother, I wonder would she have sought the Lord with such determination if her daughter had been perfectly well? If the devil had not got a hold of her daughter's life, I wonder would that mother still have sought the Lord with all of her heart and with such determination? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Because it's the usual thing that when things are going well and with no real problems and no real burdens and difficulties, we don't bother seeking the Lord. Until something happens. Then we show the determination. Then we show the earnestness, seeking the Lord with all of our hearts. Same might be said of Legion. Would he have come to Christ had he not been possessed of a legion of devils? Same might be said of Jairus. Would Jairus have sought the Lord had his daughter not have taken ill and died? Same might be said of the lepers, or the blind. Would Bartimaeus have called out to the Lord had he not have been blind? You see, what's happening here? This woman was brought to Christ, sought the Lord because she had a daughter who was possessed of an unclean spirit. And so often it is the trial or the tragedy. So often it is the suffering or the sorrow. So often it is the loss or the loneliness that brings us to Christ. That will have us seek him with a whole heart. Will have us search him out until we find him. Because We cannot go on without his help. What brings us to the feet of Jesus? What brings us to the throne of grace? Some great need? Or is it simply because we want to worship him? Because we love him, we want to worship him. So we see what brought her. And we see also what burdened her. Here was a mother with a great, heavy burden for her daughter. We just read that in the verses 25 and 26. I notice that regarding this burden which this mother had, she was helpless. In other words, this mother couldn't do anything for her daughter. This mother couldn't do anything to her daughter to help her. What could she do? The devil had got a hold of her daughter and there was nothing she could do about it. And so she was determined to seek the Lord. She must seek the Lord because she was helpless. Just as Jairus was helpless to do anything for his dying daughter. Just as the father was helpless to do anything with his lunatic son. Just as the lepers were helpless to do anything for themselves. They couldn't help themselves. Believer, have you ever fallen at the feet of Jesus Christ in this helpless state? And cried out to the Lord, Lord, I'm helpless. There are many of our brethren did that last week. And fell at the feet of Christ. Because they were helpless to do anything about their own situation. That's what brought this mother to the Lord. That's what ought to bring us to the Lord, for we're helpless to do anything for ourselves. I noticed that she was not only helpless, but she was honest. She was honest about her daughter's plight. She knew what the matter was. And so that is how she prayed. Isn't that what the Lord wants? He wants honesty, truth in the inward parts. A mother sees her daughter go astray. And that mother knows what the matter is, what's wrong. The devil's got a hold of her. And that hold needs to be broken. And that mother must come before God and come before the Lord and fall down at his feet. And pray, Lord, the devil has got a hold of my daughter. And I'm helpless to do anything about it. Lord, deliver her. Mother sees her son or her daughter being rebellious and knows where the problem lies. The devil has a hold of his life. And many Christians know what is wrong in their hearts. But their hearts are not right with God. But they're not honest enough to confess that. Not honest enough to say, Lord, I'm cold in heart. Lord, I'm backslidden in heart. Lord, I'm away from thee in heart. This mother was honest in her seeking of Christ. She told the Lord exactly what was upon her heart. The devil has a hold on my daughter. Lord, set her free. And finally, for this morning, we notice her disadvantage. In seeking the Lord, this woman was at somewhat of a disadvantage. We're told in verse 26 what the disadvantage was. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. Matthew tells us that she was a woman of Canaan. In other words, she was a Gentile. A Gentile. And in keeping with this, we notice what the Lord said to her. There in Mark 15 and verse 24. Verse 27. And Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. He's speaking about the Jews. Let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it onto the dogs. Now we'll deal with this next week. The Lord wasn't insulting this woman. The Lord wasn't insulting the Gentiles when he said, we can't give the children's meat unto the dogs. That wasn't an insult. And what he meant, we will see that, Lord willing, next week. But the Lord is here saying that the bread is given to the Jew first. That's what the Lord said in Matthew 15 and verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We know that he came unto his own. His own received him not. And so you can see that this woman was at a great disadvantage. She was a Gentile. And she was coming to one who had been sent to the Jew first. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first. And then to the Greek or the Gentile. But the point is, believer, while she was at this great disadvantage, she still sought the Lord. She still sought the Lord. And you feel that you're at a great disadvantage when it comes to the matter of seeking the Lord. Maybe you feel, well, the Lord has answered prayer for others. More spiritual or more experienced or longer in the Christian life than me. He's not going to answer prayer for me. I'm at a great disadvantage. Or maybe you say, well, I can't pray as well as so and so. I'm at a great disadvantage. Or I'm not as long in the Christian pathway. I'm at a great disadvantage. The Lord is ready to listen to all of his children, no matter who they are, what they are, whether they're young in the faith, whether they've been on the road many, many years. It's not whether we are experienced in prayer or not. The only qualification is that we are right with God. Psalm 34 and verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The righteous. And if you're saved, then you've been made righteous. And the verse 17, and the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. It doesn't say that the experienced cry or the eloquent cry. No, the righteous cry. And the Lord heareth them and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And so this woman showed great determination. This mother showed great determination because she had a burden on her heart for her daughter. Do we have burdens today for our sons and our daughters? For our loved ones? For our kinsmen according to the flesh? Then we ought to seek the Lord. And he has told us that we seek him with all of our heart. We shall find him. We'll consider the second part of this story about the Syrophoenician woman, Lord willing, next week. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord and gracious God, we bless thee for thy holy word. We thank thee, Lord, for the encouragements we receive from the word. We thank thee, Lord, for the promptings that we get from thy word, prompting us, encouraging us to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord on behalf of our loved ones who are still in their sin. And the broad road going further and further away from God. Lord, may we follow the example of this dear woman, this lovely mother, who would not rest until she found the Lord. O God, write thy holy word upon our hearts. May we think about it much today and meditate upon it.